This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. I'm Caleb Brown. In Chicago, a looming regulation could punish homeowners who share their homes on sites like Airbnb. Among other requirements, anyone who is an Airbnb host would be compelled to turn their homes into so-called public accommodations. George Sato, an attorney for homeowners challenging the rule, says it will punish people merely for providing friendly accommodations to tourists. One programming note, since recording the following podcast, the rule has been temporarily stayed through the end of February 2017.
So the city of Chicago enacted a wide-ranging ordinance to attack or to regulate Airbnb and home sharing on sites like Airbnb. And this is one of the first attempts by a city to directly regulate social media, in essence. It requires people to register before they can list online on the internet. It requires, once they register, that people transform their private homes into public accommodations and make substantial repairs and renovations. This law is almost impossible to comply with. It provides, gives your neighbors a veto over which guests you can have in your own home. And that's essentially the questions we're raising with our lawsuit. This lawsuit is also interesting because this was promoted by Airbnb as a model for how other cities might want to regulate home sharing on sites such as Airbnb. Chris Lehane, who is the head of Airbnb's head strategist for Airbnb, and is a familiar name to those who followed the presidential campaigns in 2004 and I think 2008. He also has been promoting a similar law that they are working with in New Orleans. And the gist of the law is that in exchange for the ability to operate, Airbnb is giving all of its host information to cities, giving the cities access to a lot of data without the consent of the users of that site. And so another issue that we raise is that this potentially violates the Stored Communications Act, which Airbnb wouldn't be liable for because the cities are making them do it, but the cities themselves might be liable for because they are now gaining unauthorized access to databases on the internet without consent and without a warrant. And this would subject the cities and the taxpayers pass this type of law to $1,000 minimum statutory penalties per record. So that's another reason why we're seeking court review of this before this law goes into effect, because the cities might not know what they're getting into.
What are you seeking in your lawsuit, and when does the law go into effect?
The law is presently scheduled to go into effect December 17th or 19th, 2016. It's a little confusing, but mid-December. Our lawsuit, which we filed on November 4th, seeks a declaratory judgment on as to the constitutionality of this law on several different grounds, as well as the legality of this law under federal and state law. We're seeking injunctive relief, and we recently, on Thursday, filed a motion for a preliminary injunction, and and then today we went to court. And Judge Ellis strongly suggested to the city that they consider voluntarily staying implementation of this law.
All right. So why would a company like Airbnb be at all amenable to this kind of restriction?
Well, these types of laws actually benefit Airbnb in the sense that they're allowed to operate in these cities. They are, none of the penalties roll onto Airbnb. Airbnb isn't penalized for any of the activity of its hosts. And Airbnb, this is a way for Airbnb, you know, to continue to operate without being banned from existing in these cities. So it seems like a pragmatic strategy from an Airbnb perspective to insulate itself from possible liability, and the fact that the city is requiring them to do it, you know, holding a regulatory gun to their head, so to speak, provides them with a statutory immunity against violating the Stored Communications Act.
All right. So I guess who else benefits from a law like this? Presumably hotels and more traditional accommodations.
Yeah, certainly hotels. The hotel and motel lobbies were behind part of this law, or behind the push behind this law. They've put forth several studies, which I think are subject to some debate and interpretation as to what those studies mean. But they've interpreted them as showing the negative impact that Airbnb has on communities, or the extent to which it's happening. I think you also see, and this was an interesting quote from one of the advocates of this law, Alderman Michelle Smith here in Chicago. She was quoted as almost laughing at the notion that this was all about protecting the hotel industry, and suggested that, you know, this is an existential threat to communities, which, you know, I'm not sure where she's getting that, but that seems to be the common reaction, I think, of people within communities, that there's this phenomenon happening and they don't seem to know who's doing it or how to control it. So there's a fear in general, and not my backyard fear. But yeah, I would think that the hotel lobbies and as well as the hotel unions are behind a lot of these laws in various municipalities.
So have other cities looked at something similar? If it's being promoted as a model by people who are associated with Airbnb, are other cities seriously looking at it?
Well, New Orleans is one. I just saw an article on November 30th, dated November 30th, where Chris Lehane was touting the New Orleans as a model. And the description of the law, which I haven't seen the full draft of yet, but the description of the law was very similar to what's happening in Chicago, which basically involves Airbnb registering all its hosts with the city, Airbnb providing all of its data about who the hosts are, where they live, who their guests are, how long they're staying, how much they're getting paid, the transaction history, just giving up all this data to the city almost on demand. And that is both in Chicago and appears to be in New Orleans as well.
Do you think this is an effort by the city to essentially attempt to regulate private homeowners with respect to discrimination with the accommodations that they're providing?
I've seen that in Chicago, yeah. I mean, that's what was behind the requirement that if you list on the internet, all of a sudden your home becomes a public accommodation. And that I believe the intent behind that was to combat the perception that certain groups didn't have as much access to Airbnb or to home sharing. It's certainly which is interesting, because public accommodation is a term was defined by federal civil rights law. I mean, that's the structure upon which the 1964 Civil Rights Act was built, and that 1964 Civil Rights Act contained what was known as the an exception, essentially, for, you know, it was the widower's exception, that, you know, it didn't apply to owner-occupied homes with less than a certain number of dwelling units in it. And that, you know, even if those were offered for boarders or to the public, in a sense, that the Civil Rights Act excluded that. So it's interesting that cities are attempting to redefine what it means to be a public accommodation.
Because in cases where you're renting a property on a lease for a year or more, the landlord has essentially every right to reject you.
Well, the landlords can't reject you for, you know, explicitly race-based reasons. I mean, I think but there are certain exceptions to that. It depends on whether or not you're a small landlord or if you're a larger landlord, at least in Chicago. But yeah, you're right that, private homeowners, and that's the group we represent, are people that own their own homes and have a second bedroom, that they want to entertain guests. That's fundamental. The fundamental right to property has been described as the right to exclude. You don't have property if you can't exclude. And the flip side of that coin is the right to include people or to invite your own guests onto that property.
So the difference here seems to be that there is commerce involved. That there is the exchange of money for some service.
Exactly. That's why what we do in our complaint is paint a different picture of what Airbnb is. We describe it as a combination of both the commercial and the social, that there is, in fact, a social interaction that occurs that Airbnb facilitates between a host and a guest. And this is based on my own experience as an Airbnb host, as the experience of our other members of our group, that they made some great friendships and met some really interesting people through Airbnb. The commercial transaction is contingent upon a successful social interaction. So in a sense, this is a form of social media, but an augmented social media. And so for the city to paint it all as you've received a dollar, therefore this is commerce, is incorrect. In our opinion, it's a misreading of how Airbnb works. And furthermore, we even argue that even if you looked at this strictly as commercial speech, even if you looked at this solely as a business, the city goes too far in its regulation of this commercial speech by mandating that all the hosts sign an oath, essentially, an attestation of an opinion or several opinions about, you know, the legality of their listing, whether or not they've read and understood this law, as well as to post controversial information such as their listing number, the registration number on their listings, which would help the city identify who they are. Anonymity on the internet is actually a protected First Amendment right. And the city is deliberately trying to get past that by requiring people, as a precondition for speaking on the internet, that you register with the city first.
For people, I'm struggling to recall who this was, but I know there was a similar regulation, or maybe not that similar, but a similarly restrictive regulation that New York was considering adopting. And I believe it was Ashton Kutcher came out and said, look, people are going to lose their homes. They have made investments in homes with perhaps a spare bedroom or a second level that would allow them to earn some extra income, making use of that on services like Airbnb. Is there an impact comparable that you can see potentially happening in Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. And this is talking to a number of hosts who have come to Keep Chicago Livable, confused about this law and wondering what to do and how to comply with it. And we hear their stories. And, you know, there is a cost of living in any city, but especially in Chicago, just to own and live and to pay the taxes, to pay your assessments, pay your mortgage, et cetera. And people use the ability to list a second bedroom, entertain guests through Airbnb to just defray those costs. They're not actually seeking to make a profit. They're just trying to keep their head above water. And that's, you know, we run into that a lot. We've seen a lot of people that, you know, do it occasionally. They only do it, you know, maybe they're going out of town for 2 weeks on a vacation, you know, that they haven't taken in a couple of years. And this helps them, you know, not only watch the house, but also it helps them, you know, pay for that vacation. And frankly, having a listing and being a host makes it easier to book an accommodation as a guest, especially if you're traveling abroad, because hosts like to rent other hosts. So yeah, but I mean, certainly there is a cost of living factor that really gets, it shows that just because you're making a dollar on it doesn't necessarily mean you're trying to do this as a profit-making venture.
The city of Chicago, and you said that this law is just about impossible to comply with, has just this month had its first discussion about how to comply with this law. Is that right?
That's correct. This law, which goes into effect in less than 2 weeks, the city held its first public workshop this Friday, December 2nd. And there were probably 20 people in attendance. And what was shocking and amazing to me was that there were a number of questions. We counted almost a dozen where the city was asked questions about the law, and the city lead enforcer, essentially, who was giving the presentation, punted. She said, talk to the law department. And we're in court with the law department for the city of Chicago. And they've had this complaint for almost 30 days, and they just filed a motion for an extension of time of 38 additional days to because this complaint raises too many issues for them to address. So they don't know the answers either. And this law is going into effect in less than 2 weeks. The city admitted that they don't have all the forms prepared. The city hasn't promulgated the rules for how they're going to enforce these you know, interpret some of the vagueness of this law. They haven't. None of this is in effect. They're not ready to go. And yet they're pushing forward to put this law into place. And that's one of the reasons why we're asking for the city to take time out. They're not ready. And it's pretty evident by the fact that they can't answer simple questions. And the other questions that they can answer were were incorrect, or at least indicated that they don't know how to put this law into place.
George Sato is an attorney for homeowners in Chicago who use sites like Airbnb. You can subscribe to this podcast using iTunes, Google Play, and with Cato's iOS app. And follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.